I saw a statistic that said 70% of people do not follow up on a sales call. I did not believe it.
So true.
In this past year, I think it probably could be higher. So I think one of the biggest things that I address is you are not bothering someone. If they are never going to use you, they have no interest in getting your emails, they will let you know, or you'll never hear from them. That's fine. But for the most part, there's different buying styles.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for listening to the show. I would love if you could give us your opinion on how you felt about the show, your experience that you have in regards to what we've been talking about. I am having an absolute blast, but your input is like dynamite on that explosion. So give us your input. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions, comments, concerns? Give us everything you got. We love it. Thanks. Hope you're having an awesome day. Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership. Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I'm super glad that you're here with us today because I'm here with my most amazing guest, Darlene. Darlene, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me, Michelle.
Awesome. So give us a highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Sure. So my name is Darlene Pradé, and I am dual careered currently. My day job is I am the director of business development for Peachtree Versatile Assistance, and we supply high quality support for busy entrepreneurs. I also have, and I don't like to call it a side gig because it's more of a passion project. I have a coaching business for sales, and I help busy entrepreneurs who feel like sales is icky and it's a bad word, and they don't feel comfortable to authentically be able to share their value and build their sales funnel.
Nice. I love it. So, before we get into the hows of what you do, how did you get into sales as your thing?
I have been in sales my whole life. And I, it's funny because I always said I'm the salesperson that hates sales. And it was not really sales that I hated. I love helping people. I love connecting with people. I hate the icky side of sales. I hate the, always be closing, hard driving type of sales. So, I just, but every role that I've had, even if it wasn't sales, always included sales.
Funny that we really can't run businesses without doing sales. I mean, there's some that can get away with taking orders. I'll grant you that. And but
Yeah.
really, when it comes down to it, we're all doing the sales, and I love it. So when it comes to your clientele now, who is your preferred clientele? Who's your favorite that you love to deal with?
Yeah, so for DP Consult, I love working with consultants. So I love working with that solopreneur that has built a business, has a great offering, established business, but they've only built their business on referrals. And then when they start to dip their toe into other people reaching out, what they've been doing for probably years becomes stiff, inauthentic, and they are fearful. I come alongside of them and help them just do what they've always been doing and really take their natural giftings and being able to develop processes to have it as an extension of them.
Nice. I love that. So instead of hiring an internal salesperson, it would most likely be much better, if not better, to hire you to come and do that because then they get the process right. Because I see so many entrepreneurs go straight into hiring somebody to do their sales, but they don't have any processes for them to follow. It's like, well, you're good at sales, so you do it. And do what?
Exactly. And there's, so it's twofold. First of all, you're your best advocate for what you do. And I have seen time and time again, people hiring salespeople way too prematurely. They don't have the processes, but they also don't have the support for it. So the person comes in, maybe makes a little bit of a headway. They're not set up for success. And then it's back on the owner after they leave, and it's costly and it's disruptive to their clientele and their messaging and their brand. The nice thing about what I do is, again, I empower the leader to be able to sell their own services, but also if they decide to grow to, you know, if they grow to the point where they need someone, those processes are already there and there's clear expectations and there's a clear transfer of power. You never want your salespeople just going rogue. It's still an extension of you, especially as service.
Love it. So much can go wrong. So when you transfer to the coaching side of things and the sales training, do you also help people to onboard new staff and train and help them, or?
So I have my I have a few times. My focus right now is truly with that solopreneur who does not have a team, but I definitely have done a couple of instances where I went into small teams and really helped even the sales manager. So I say it's like encouragement, right? Mm-hmm. The sales managers sometimes are focused on the lower third of the sales team. And then the top tier, it's just, they expect more and more out of the middle, kind of, it's like that middle child syndrome. Nobody pays attention to them. And then all the efforts are into the lower ones. We're usually those lower ones are not on the right seat of the bus. They're put in a position, they're struggling. It's not their sweet spot. Nobody is looking at it like, okay, this is still a great person. This is someone with talents and gifts, but are they in alignment with what we need on the sales team? So I come in and kind of do an assessment of everything. And also it's nice to have somebody on the outside because people are honest, right? People are honest when you have a consultant come in. If you have that culture, yes, you'd love for them to be honest with the sales manager and the owner, but a lot of times that does not happen. So having somebody from the outside just ask questions like, hey, like, what are you struggling with? Why do you do things like this? It just gives a nice objective peer into what their business is and where those gaps are.
Right. Well, and I find too that a lot of businesses will take their best salesperson and promote them into management. And that I feel really sorry for the person who just got promoted because they don't necessarily know what they did right. They're like, I don't know, I just did it. Like, just go do it.
1000%. I've been that person. I have been that person where I love sales and I'm great at what I do. And then managing people is a whole nother ball game. And it like, you know, it really can suck the life out of you. And sometimes like you have to know, like, what are the expectations of a sales manager? And also it's not right for everybody because again, back to that right seat of the bus, you could take a high producer, somebody who's amazing, move them into quote unquote a promotion. They're miserable. They're not effective. They don't know how, they don't have the tools. I'm not saying people cannot be groomed into leadership. Mm-hmm. But what's in place to help them succeed and help their team succeed?
Absolutely. Because so many times it can become a fine line between, okay, am I doing therapy or am I helping them with trying to figure out what they should be doing on a daily basis?
Well, that's what sales is, right? It's always a little bit of both. Like, yeah. You know, I get really invested in it because it's so much, especially when you're selling services, right? There's so much involved. There's so much fear involved. Is it the right decision? Or I have a lot of people come to me. They don't know what they need. They honestly do not. Somebody has told them you need a salesperson. You need an assistant. What does this all look like? And how does it fit into what your goals are? Everybody has different whys. Unless you know what your why is, what your goals are, it's really hard to scale your business.
Absolutely. And I would think too, that a good salesperson who is hiring people to take over for them as an entrepreneur might be easier because you have some scripts, but certainly if it's a professional type person or a trades type person who is really good at what they do functionally and in the fulfillment arena, and then trying to train somebody to do the sales side of things, I can imagine that goes haywire in a whole different direction on itself.
It does, but I've also helped leaders who have hired a salesperson They typically do not have the budget to hire, you know, someone who has a ton of experience. So they're getting a newer salesperson, which again is fine. I think like you can have a 20-year-old that's just dynamic. The problem is in the owner's mind, you said it, sales script. They're giving them a script and they're like, this is what my brand is. This is how I want it sold, all of those different things. And then even if you're a great salesperson, if you're locked into a script, you are going to come across inauthentic, canned, everything we hate, being bombarded by canned emails, canned messaging. You know, right now, I mean, I don't think there's another time where we are not just sold every time we turn around. And, right. You know, you're to talk to your aunt because now she's a Mary Kay representative and she wants you to buy her skincare line. So what I do is I really pull out, what is the value? What are talking points? You obviously have to hit certain talking points, but even within a team of five, each person is going to have a unique way that they're selling. And that's the gift. That's really what you want to promote, is the individuality, the authenticity, the empathy within that role. And they may be all hitting their numbers, but they're hitting them in different approaches, but it works because it's true to who they are.
Thanks. Love it. So with so many facets of your business, what would you say is your favorite part of it?
If you ask my husband, it's like, I love telling people what to do. No, I truly love helping people, and it's like everything else, because trust me, I have the same blind spots in my own business, and I have a great team around me that speaks into that. But going into somebody's business that objectively and showing them where they can improve and pointing out what they're doing great and seeing that light, that aha moment in the client where they're like, oh, I thought so, but I wasn't sure because I've never done sales. You know, it's so rewarding to see them gain that confidence and continue to do what amazing things that they're already doing.
I love it. So give us an example of a Cinderella story of a client of yours, not necessarily rags to riches so much as chaos to order or otherwise.
Sure. I could think of one client. She was a mindset coach. And I was in a networking group with her, and she had mentioned that she just feels like she's failing at sales because, you know, she was doing so well all of this time. And then the last couple of months, she got three no's in a row. And I private messaged her afterwards and I was like, hey, you know, let's chat. And for a mindset coach, she was good about going in and helping others get over that hump of their preconceived notions, their fears, and everything else. But in her own realm, she didn't have a benchmark. She didn't know what was standard. She did build a great business based upon a couple of sales a month from referrals. So she was like, I'm a great salesperson because here, you know, everybody's a yes. But then when she started to broaden her horizons, that's where you get the no's, right? But she took it so deeply. And it was, you know, she felt like, why was I successful then? And now I'm a failure. And that was the furthest thing from the truth. So what I did was I got in there and looked at the ones that said no, right? Let's analyze them. Was it no, they don't need your services ever, they never will. But somebody said, oh, go talk to Susie. Or is it, I love your services, I just don't have the budget right now. This is on the docket as I grow. Or, you know, is it something where I may not need it, but I can be a great referral partner with you? So instead of just looking at it as black or white, I say the win in the sales call is building a relationship, getting to know the person's needs, sharing what you can do. You win when you make that connection. The win is not always a sale.
Nice. Love that. And so true. So, having previous success and then venturing out into the world and seeing some failure. What are some other stumbling blocks that somebody might be having and thinking, oh my God, Darlene, I need you so badly?
I saw a statistic that said 70% of people do not follow up on a sales call. I did not believe it. In this past year, I think it probably could be higher. So I think one of the biggest things that I address is you are not bothering someone. If they are never going to use you, they have no interest in getting your emails, they will let you know, or they'll, you know, you'll never hear from them. That's fine. But for the most part, there's different buying styles, right? Some people can make a decision right away. If you're committing to a year-long coaching program, I would need to really think about it and kind of weigh all my options, look at budget, different things like that. That may be just depending, because you're dealing with busy leaders. That could be a week. That could be 6 months. That could be 6 years. I have clients 6 years, and I'm not even exaggerating, that are like, Darlene, now I'm ready. And I'm like, wait, what? Like, so nurturing them, but giving them value every time, operating generously, giving them some sort of value each time you touch base with them, whether or not it's encouragement, whether or not it's a tip, trick, or whatever, constantly giving them value and keeping you on top of their mind. So when they are ready, they are not like, oh, I had a conversation with Michelle 6 months ago. What was her last name? What was her company name? You know, kind of be a presence without overwhelming them.
Yeah. And so many times I find, especially if they meet a lot of people in the given day, it's like, they remember what you did. They remember the sound of your voice. And like, and what was your name again? Just being able to, yeah.
Exactly. Because I mean, for me, I'm on sales calls all day long. So it is true. Like, I have to, it may take me a minute to remember, but if somebody is like, oh, you can be a referral partner, and I talk to them once and then I never hear from them again, I can't remember. There's too much information.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get that. So I know our listeners are going to want more from you. How did they start their journey with you?
Sure. So they can visit my website, dp-consults.com. I have a kind of an overview of what I do on there. There's also, you can fill out a form and have a consultation. And it's truly a discovery call that I have with people. I want to make sure what they need is what I can provide. And I also have an incredible network of people that if I'm not the right girl, I can pass you off to someone. They can also connect with me on LinkedIn, Darlene Prenet, and I would love to get any connections. And I post a lot of content about delegation and sales and building relationships. So if they want to follow me, they can glean a lot of information.
I love it. We will, of course, have all of Darlene's links in the show notes. So go ahead and scroll down. Click on the link, open it up in a new browser, of course, because we're not done yet. So Darlene, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know that you were special, kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
So I love that question. I think I knew early on I was a special kind of crazy. Whether or not that translated into entrepreneur or not, I'm not sure. I have worked for small businesses my entire career. I was always blessed that even if it was not my business, that I can operate my department as if it was my business. And I can have that entrepreneurial spirit. I could be heard. I can make changes. I love moving the needle, right? I love being a cog in the wheel at times, but I love to see that big picture come together. But it was not until last year that I really started putting legs to my idea.
I love it. Well, and I find too that being an intrapreneur, as they're kind of referring to them now, is having that entrepreneurial spirit and working within somebody else's business. It's still that kind of, I'm going to take responsibility for this thing and nurture it. And I love seeing how it blossoms and grows.
I have not heard that term, intrapreneur. So now I'm going to go jump down another rabbit hole after we but I love that. But yes, and like, lead where you are. Everybody can make a difference. You don't have to have your own company in order to impact lives.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You have been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
I just want to encourage people that you are probably more equipped to do sales than you give yourself credit for. And with a little bit of tips, with processes, you'll be able to, you are your best advocate for your brand. And I just want to encourage people to just get over that fear and just do it.
I love it. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. And I know how valuable it is.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Michelle.
Thanks. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show, share it with a friend. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.